This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake.
On today's show, Will and Jake compare and contrast the Raw and SmackDown women's divisions over the past week. Want more great wrestling coverage, including an audio review of Extreme Rules on Sunday and the ProWrestling.net weekly audio show? Become a ProWrestling.net member for $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or as low as $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month. You too can enjoy the great audio content ad-free on ProWrestling.net. So Jake, what a week in women's wrestling in WWE. I mean, on Raw, we had the definitely occurring Bayley and Alexa Bliss This Is Your Life segment that somehow managed to get all of the characters wrong, misunderstand the original This Is Your Life segment, and make me less excited to see Bayley versus Alexa in an object on a pole match. And on SmackDown, we got a radical opposite in a way. We got the announcement of the first ever women's Money in the Bank match, which we talked about on this show, I believe on Monday when everyone heard it. What are your thoughts on this week in women's wrestling in WWE?
Well, I think you nailed it on the This Is Your Life segment. To me, it really did miss the point of the original, which was a very sincere Mick Foley sort of attempting to do something nice for his friend, but embarrassing him in the process in a way that was kind of endearing and funny.
Yeah. And then in a way, the whole joke of that segment was, haha, isn't Rock an asshole? Like, that was the entire point, is the Rock is a huge jerk. Mick Foley just wants to be pals with him, and he's trying everything he has, and it's not working. And the realness of those characters, kind of the connection that those characters had and the connection fans had to them, is what made it work. The Alexa version, the Bayley and Alexa thing they did, it was so far off from that.
Did anybody know enough about Bayley's character to have a need to do a This Is Your Life segment? Like, that's the part that stuck out to me right away. Like, well, I don't even know enough about Bayley to care about any of this stuff. Like, they haven't made me, you know, invest in her since she's been on the main roster. And they sort of rushed into making her a champion. And she never really got a chance to be an underdog. And she never really got a chance to tell that story that they've now, you know, just sort of had her go out there and repeat ad nauseum on the microphone about her childhood dream of being, you know, a women's champion in WWE. And now they have, you know, so she's sort of this poorly defined character who is in a weird place from a personality perspective, because she's just not well lit, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. You know, they haven't illuminated what makes her tick that well. And so to have Alexa, who, you know, is sort of the mean girl type character, go out there and just tear her down. I mean, I can see where they might have thought it would work, where it's like, well, we're going to flip the original, you know, This Is Your Life segment on its head. And instead of having it unintentionally be a way to embarrass somebody, we're just going to have it be sort of a roast. But I think they asked Alexa to do way too much heavy lifting on the microphone with some very, I guess, mediocre actors that they brought in to play various roles from Bayley's past. And the props weren't even that good. And I don't know, there was just nothing about it that, you know, just made me want to stay tuned. And I think it's just another example about how, you know, the Raw women's division, while on paper it's just stacked, you know, the booking on that show just continues to miss the boat with what could be a very loaded and exciting division to watch.
And you'd think the booking of that would be really simple. Alexa beat Bayley. Now they're going to have a match together. Bayley wants a rematch, and it's not hard to tell Bayley's story going into it. She sits down, you know, I always advocate for this, but to me, it's still the best thing WWE does. do a WWE 24 like special on her going into this match, or have her do a sit down interview about the match and have her just say, I got beat. I went into my hometown. I thought I had it all together. I was confident. I was ready. But, you know, I didn't prep hard enough. I did not take Alexa Bliss seriously, and that's my bad. It's not going to happen again. I got beat. It's my fault. And at Extreme Rules, I'll beat her. That's like that's the compelling promo that people want from Bayley. It's real, sincere. That's what people want out of that. Not crazy, weird, this is your life. Like, it turns everything around it into a caricature. For some reason, it's weirdly sexually charged. Like, why did two characters that I've never met before end a segment making out on my TV? Like, what was that? Why? Like, I just feel bad for those actors in a way.
Didn't the guy also say that he almost made out with Bayley's dad or something too?
That dude wants to make out with everybody.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, I don't understand what they were going for, really. I mean, I get that you want to embarrass Bayley to a degree to sort of, you know, get the crowd to sympathize with her. But I don't think they had done enough up until that point to, you know, to really make that stuff sink in deep.
I have a question about this entire segment. Are these actual people from Bayley's past? Or are these actors Alexa Bliss dug up to try and embarrass Bayley?
I was assuming it was just actors that she brought in to do that, would be my guess. Like, but I don't know if that's true in kayfabe. Like, you know, I'm assuming they want us to believe that those are actual people.
That's what I mean. Like, in the storyline world, I couldn't figure out if these were real people from the Bayley character's childhood and past, or if they were, or if Alexa, you know, in kayfabe, paid a bunch of people to pretend because she wanted to embarrass Bayley on TV. And I'm not quite sure which is worse there.
Yeah, I don't either. But I think my you know, big takeaway from this is that, you know, the reason it failed as hard as it did is because they, you know, they hadn't made me care about Bayley enough to have any of these insults like sink in deep. Like, if you are invested in a character and the material that Alexa, excuse me, was digging out was so personal, you know, it should, you know, really make you offended as a fan. And it just didn't do that. I was just more like rolling my eyes at it. And I think that's just a result of the bad booking overall.
Yeah, I would say that's completely a result of poor booking. So what did you think of the SmackDown announcement of the Women's Money in the Bank match?
I think it was a huge contrast, you know, not necessarily because I think the SmackDown women have been booked like dynamite, you know, since the brand split, you know, the draft.
But Shane McMahon said that the SmackDown women's division was on fire.
Well, that's a very Shane McMahon thing to say, but
he also said Hot Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah. I keep like, when did that reference start? Like, the first time I remember seeing it, like, was like an Allman Brothers album, like, that came out in the '60s. But like, I don't even know if that's the first reference to it. It's probably ages old, but it's like, it's still current for some reason. Like, it's, you know, all over the place in music that comes from the area. So it, for whatever reason, it works, and it worked on the crowd too. So good on Shane for being somewhat current. But the women's division itself, I mean, it really, in contrast to Raw, they managed to take what looks like an inferior division from a talent perspective and continue to make it into something greater than the sum of its parts. I mean, the brawl they had on SmackDown was satisfying to watch. And, you know, there was a couple of spots in there, you know, one from Becky Lynch and actually a couple from Becky and a couple from Charlotte, including, you know, power bombing Natalya through the ringside announce table and hitting a moonsault from the ring out to the floor. I mean, there was enough chaos there that you were like, okay, I buy it. Like, I could see this working in a ladder match. And so they managed to sell me on it, even though I was initially a skeptic, and I'm still unsure what they're going to have Naomi do at the pay-per-view. But
commentate.
Yeah, it could be. She could be out there commentating on this match. But I'm sold on it, you know, and it's a pretty stark, you know, division between the two shows. You know, the Raw program just isn't working, and the SmackDown one, despite, you know, having to involve, you know, three more talents and involving talents that really don't really have a place being competing for a championship at this stage of their career. It seems like it's clicking to me. And I think that's, it just goes to show you, you know, what a difference, just a change in the attitude of the booking can do for you.
Yeah. And with a lot of the Raw booking too, I think I get confused as to like where Nia Jax is right now. Is she still a thing? I know she's not like most girls. I'm well aware of that. But does that mean she doesn't show up to TV every week as well? Because she's off missing, and apparently it's because they have nothing for her to do, which just confuses me, because something for Nia Jax to do is really easy. Hey, local star, here's $50 and a sandwich. Nia's gonna murder you for 2 minutes on TV. In case you were wondering, she's not like most girls. Yes, we're aware. And then Nia murders someone. That's simple. That is a really easy formula. What? And they
why
can do
she
it.
Why is program with Mickie James? I mean, right? what is going on there? Like, why can't they seem to get anything out of Mickie James since her return? You know, she had that great match with Asuka, and then she, you know, showed up on SmackDown and had a, you know, a fairly successful program with Alexa and Becky Lynch, and then post, you know, shakeup, she's just kind of fallen off the face of the earth, and she's super talented. So it's very bizarre to me that they haven't found a place for her yet. And I don't know if it's an issue with, you know, they just don't have enough spots on television, or if they just don't know.
You can't tell me if Raw doesn't have time.
yeah, that's a good point. But they just don't seem to have a slot to put her in. But I would think Nia would be, you know, a natural place for her to go, because they both need something to do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea, and is something that you could easily make a Raw exclusive, you know, just like a Raw only. It doesn't even need to cross into pay-per-view style feud, or you can make it something bigger should you desire to. It gives them something to do. And I don't get how those two women, who are really talented and unique and both bring a different sort of character to the women's division, with Nia Jax being the monster and Mickey being the veteran looking for one more run, which I think is a great angle and a great thing to do that WWE doesn't play off of enough. But yeah, the deficiencies in Raw's division are weird. I think SmackDown, they're making up for what I think has been awkward booking for the last month or two, with the whole welcoming committee thing and Natalya, Tamina, and Carmella just hating the other three women for some reason. They're making up for a lot of poor booking there by putting them in this Money in the Bank match. They're essentially saying, hey, we haven't done all that well, but look, you get to have this great match. And I do think it's historic. I'm really excited that for the first time in WWE, women are getting to participate in a ladder match. That's huge. And it's a massive step forward for WWE, kind of making the kind of furthering the cause of equality, which they have done in small, large, and sometimes backwards steps as they've gone on this path in the last about 2 years now of trying to produce women's wrestling that is on par with the men's wrestling they produce.
Well, and I you know, with the SmackDown women, it's almost a case of the talent sort of outperforming the booking in some ways. Like they sent them out there on
that brawl was insane. Like that was, yeah,
that was way above expectations, in my opinion.
I mean, watch Charlotte flip off of things and powerbomb people through things for hours.
Yeah, it all looked great on television, and it had a pace that kept you glued to the TV. And there's, you know, there's enough crazy action that there wasn't a dull moment, that was a part of it. So I think they sort of convinced me in quick fashion that match could work. You know, whether they can keep that up for 15 or 20 minutes straight is another matter altogether. But for a wild brawl on TV, it sure made a believer out of me.
Yeah, and I think that the match, I'm really looking forward to that match. And I guess that's the ultimate test. I'm not looking forward to Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. I am looking forward to the Women's Money in the Bank match. And that's that is a major test of how successful kind of these segments have been.
So I guess, you know, post, you know, Money in the, or Extreme Rules, like that, I don't even know where Raw goes. Like, what's the next feud for, you know, for Alexa Bliss? Do they go back to whoever, you know, seems to come out on top of the Sasha and, you know, Alicia Fox feud? It didn't really seem like it, you know, they're not positioned in a way where you would think they're, you know, fighting over the number one contendership. And, you know, does Mickey James just kind of slide in when Bayley moves out of the picture? Or at least I assume that's the case. I can't imagine her recapturing the championship at this point.
I mean, I think that would be a big mistake. Yeah. I think Mickey James slides in. They find a way to put Mickey in there and Bayley falls down the card and does something. I'm not sure what. And they save Sasha. I would think they'd save Sasha until SummerSlam to give her a shot against Alexa.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have a good grasp on it because it's difficult for me to see, you know, beyond what they're doing right at this moment, because they just haven't planted the seeds. You know, they do have sort of that open question of what Mickey James is doing right now, along with Nia Jax, and I guess they still have that Sasha and Bayley story that they just never paid off. And I don't know if that's just going to be a thread that they dropped or if they'll pick it back up later. But I would think, you know, for SummerSlam, Bayley and Sasha would be a fantastic match. You know, whether or not they could get there and make it believable, I'm not sure. But it seems like that would be one of the few angles that would really grab people emotionally at this point.
You see, I would think they'd go with Alexa versus Sasha there, but you might be right with Bayley versus Sasha. I do think when they pull the trigger on that, it will be emotional and will be pretty big. Jake, anything else to add before we wrap up today's show?
No, I think we covered everything, man.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.